Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Father, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for your presence. We bow before you and we thank you that this will not just be another service, but we will see you face to face. We will feel your presence. We will hear your voice. We will know that you are here among us, and you will not leave us the same. Rearranging destinies, yes. Getting us back on the track and the purpose and the place that you ordained for us, you destined for us. You coded in our DNA the very destiny of heaven for each one of us. And Father, we walk it out by your Spirit. We call you, Father, come, come and be among us. The Father's moving. You can be seated. The Father's moving in a great way. Thank you. Got these dresses and these heels on. I told Pastor Jess I hadn't been in a dress in 15 years. And then someone gave me three of these flowy sack things. And I'm like, hey, I like them. But that means I have to wear not boots. Well, I've seen people wear boots with them. I'm just not there yet. I'm in the winter, but in the summer. You know, God is moving in a different way. Has anybody felt that shift in the Spirit? There is a shift in the Spirit of God. I see Pastor Laura with us. I see Pastor Natalie. I see Barbara. I see Michelle, Vanessa. I see Corinne. I see Pastor Esther here. I'm so thankful for all of you. I know I probably missed some of my Women of Worth mentor group, but I appreciate all of you coming and supporting and helping. And some of you are right from the rock, and I appreciate you all. Thank you. I have shifted in my life. I'm 61 years old now, and I'm thankful for every year. People say, why do you always tell your age? Because I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be alive. I'm celebrating. I refuse to act like 40's better than 60 because it isn't. I was 40. I was 50. I've been 60. 60 so far beats the heck out of every other decade. So I'm not going to pretend like it gets bad. It actually gets better. You get in menopause, you get over yourself. You don't care what anybody thinks. Life is great here. It's beautiful. It's like you get free from yourself. When you stop bleeding, life gets good. Wow. You can have sex and not worry about having a baby. I mean, there's a lot of things good in this age. It's good, I'm telling you. Don't despise what's ahead of you, because what's ahead of you is so much better than where you are right now. Every year you walk with God is better than the year you walked last. Every day is better. Every year is better. And if you don't learn to celebrate, the enemy's going to lie to you and you'll start doing what he says, telling you that you're getting old and that you're not worth it. Listen, if you actually read your Bible, the older people got, the more God could use them. Hi, Pastor Patricia. I didn't see you two and Chantel. Oh, and there's Ariel. See, I missed this whole side. There's a lot of pastors here today. Thank you so much. You know, God is wanting you as a woman to celebrate who you are. I want to teach. I've just finished a new book. It's going to the printer today, actually, called Women of the Nation Pray. Because God is raising up women in our nation to pray. And we have talked about prayer a lot, but we've not been serious about praying. And within the book, I have a chapter of it called Ask a Woman. And when I was doing this message for you today, I asked the Lord what he wanted me to call it, and he said, Ask a Woman. And I said, no, I'm asking you. What would you want me to call it? And he said, I want you to call it Ask a Woman, because in this house of women, we need to understand that God's still asking you to do something. He's still asking you. He's still calling you. He's still anointing you. He's still putting his hand on you. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God still wants you. If you can get this one thing in your spirit, though, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you. I hope that brings you great relief, because it should. God is not desperate for you to help him. You're helpmate to your husband. You're not helpmate to God. He actually sent you a helpmate called the Holy Ghost, because you need help. We all do. We need help. So he sent us a helpmate. He didn't give us a husband as a helpmate. They're no help to us. We're helping them. But God gave us a Holy Ghost. He said, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. So you help your husband, and the Holy Ghost is going to help you, and it's going to free you up. When you figure out God doesn't need you, but he wants you. And the difference is pressure. When you're needed, you feel that pressure. But God doesn't want you to feel pressure. He wants you to feel freedom. This morning I was praying for our nation, and I was thanking God for freedom. And the Spirit of God said to me, do you know how few people who live in America thank me for freedom? Because they take it for granted. He said, but in other countries where there's no freedom, they're calling out for freedom every day. They're crying for freedom. We need to understand to be thankful for what we already have. Thank God for freedom. Thank God we can come to church on a Thursday morning and celebrate Jesus and not worry about somebody out there shutting us down. Thank God we can love our husbands and love our kids, and we can choose whether we want to send them to public school or not. That's our choice, because we have freedom. We need to learn to be thankful. Thankful is a great attribute as you get older. Because if you don't get thankful, you're going to get bitter and judgmental. Because women are always evolving either one way or the other. My mom's 86 her next birthday, and her sister's 95, 96 her next birthday. They both still live in their own homes, take care of their own yards. My 95-year-old aunt still runs the bush hog. If y'all don't know what that is, I think y'all call it a brush hog out here, but Southerners call it a bush hog. You run a tractor and you put the thing behind it, and they mow their big 10-acre yards with it. She's 95. My mom does the same. She's 85. So here I'm saying this to you to say, stop acting like you're ticking down. You're just winding up. Here's what I do. When I want something done and I need help and I ask a woman, I look for the busiest woman I can find and ask her to help me. I don't look for the woman that has nothing on her plate, because that girl can't do nothing. Don't ask a girl with plenty of time. She can't manage the time she has, and she's probably lazy. So you don't want that girl helping you. Otherwise, you're going to be helping her. But look for the girl that's so busy she can't see straight, because she'll figure out how to get one more thing on her plate. That's the kind of girls God's calling. The one that's already in motion, the one that's already saying yes, yes, yes to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about being silly. I'm not talking about putting more on your plate and hurting your health, because I was that girl. But I'm saying being led by the Holy Ghost and being available for God to use you. When God says he wants me to teach on asking a woman, I want you to understand God's been asking you for a while. He's asking you for your heart. He's asking you for your future. He's asking you for your family. He's asking you for your marriage. See, here's, you say, why would God be asking me for it? Because you're still trying to fix it. You're still trying to fix your kids. You're still trying to fix your grandkids. You're still trying to fix your marriage. And he's saying, just give it to me. Let me get in the middle of it. But you, here's the thing about God. If you want to deal with it, he's not going to get involved. Either one of you is going to be doing the work. He's not going to be sharing it with you. And he's not going to ask you. See, here's what I say. God, if I could just get my hand right in the middle of that relationship, I could fix that. And he's like, if you put your hand in, I'm taking mine out. So you got to decide who's going to be in charge of your life. At 61, I figured it out. And I'll be figuring it out till Jesus comes. I'm not saying that I've arrived. I'm saying I figured this much out. I figured it up to this point. that God needs us to just be available. But I'm not talking to that one who's overly stressed already, okay? Majority of women are still trying to figure out what God wants them to do. I'm asking you not about your doing, I'm asking you about your being. Who are you inside of Him? Because most women are still trying to figure out their identity. And honestly, by now, we ought to be there. We ought to be there. And here's what I see in the kingdom of heaven. We've circled the promise of our life over and over and over and over. And you can keep circling it all your life. You can be that close to the promise all of your life. Or you can determine you're going to go on in and possess it. But to do that, you're going to have to realize a couple of things. I want you to look at, this is what the Lord gave me for you last night. In 2 Timothy 3, we're going to start there. And I launched a year ago womenofthenation.org, and it is a website to pray. And everybody, we've had 3 Women of the Nation summits. We've got one coming up this month in Los Angeles. And God told me to move around and take ground in the spirit and train women how to pray. We've been acting like we've been on a battlefield when we've actually been in a courtroom. And so when you pray like you're on a battlefield, instead of praying like you're in a courtroom, you're missing the point. Because God sets Himself up as Father, and then in friend in the book of Luke, and then He gets to the point where He calls Himself the righteous judge. Let's actually, if you're at, you got your Bibles? Let's actually do 2 Timothy chapter 4 for one verse, and look at verse 8. In the future, in the future. You notice God never talks to you about your past. He says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. So God, if you're still trying to figure out your past and what's been broken here and what's been broken there and what curse is there and what devil's been there, listen, you're going to be wasting a lot of your life. Because if the devil can keep you looking back, even if you're going to heaven and love God, if He can keep you looking back and trying to fix all your past, God doesn't even fix your past. He cuts you loose from it. He gives you a future and a hope. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. What's He doing? Trying to focus you forward. I have a past. I've got this amazing past, good and bad. I was crippled from a car wreck when I was 11 years old, told I'd never walk again, been through 3 windshields with my face. I've had cancer 4 times, God healed me all 4 times. I've had crippling arthritis, fibromyalgia, connective tissue disease, chronic fatigue. I've been healed every time. But here's the thing, you hear I've been healed, you don't realize I had to walk through those things. I had to bury my daughter when she was 6 years old after a year-long battle with a brain tumor. I had to walk through that. I died on the table, went to heaven, God made me come back. You're right. Why? You were right. I stood before Him and I'm like, Father, I just want to hear well done. And He said, well. I'm like, finish your sentence. And He said, what are you doing here? I didn't call you yet. You don't get to choose the day you die. You didn't get to choose your birthday. You don't get to choose your death day. He said, I set your days in order, the beginning and the end. You don't get to decide. He said, if you come, He didn't say I couldn't, He said, if I did. If you come, you will be in direct disobedience for my will for your life. Now, He knows me. He knows I'm not going to go to heaven and be in disobedience. Who wants to do that? I want to be in obedience so I can hear the 2 words. And so I said, okay, Father, I'll go back, but I want 3 things. You got to learn, God is legal. He likes negotiating. He negotiated with Abraham from 50 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 15 to 10 people. He said, if you could find 10 people, okay, all right, 10 will be good. Find me 10 righteous in Sodom and I won't destroy it. Why? Because God is a legal God. He's also a righteous judge in our life. He wants to pronounce an amazing future and verdict for you. He wants to say, not guilty. He wants to say, here's a great plan I have for you. Here's the verdict for you. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's victorious. I want to place a victor's crown on your head. That's what He wants for you. And if you're having any other verdict except that, then you are having to go into the court and contend with an adversary who's got you in his radar. And don't think that any human is immune to the adversary. In 1 Peter, that word adversary means to bring a legal lawsuit. The devil brings a legal lawsuit against you as a woman. But I'm going to show you the truth. The truth is, you've got more. I know I've done that repeatedly, haven't I? But I hadn't knocked it over. No, it's all right. You've got more in you, and you've got more pronunciation of the Spirit of God inside of you. The sound, when I say pronunciation, the sound of Him inside of you. That's who God is inside of you. And you need to know from a legal standpoint what you have going for you. So when you get into 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, in the future there's reserved for me, everybody say me, the victor's crown of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. I'd like to focus in on crown because I have one, but that's all right. For being right with God and doing right. So righteousness means right standing with God. Everybody say right standing with God. Righteousness is not what you earn. Righteousness is what you receive. It's a gift. Jesus paid the price for you so you can be in right standing with God. So that means you're not a poor old wretched sinner. You are righteous. When Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are righteous. You stand before the righteous judge righteously. You stand there righteous before God, and you don't plead guilty because we all are guilty. You don't plead innocent because we're all guilty. But you plead the blood of Jesus, and that's a plea that will stand for eternity. So, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that great day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved and longed for and welcomed his appearing. I just want to focus for one moment on that. If you want to be right standing with God, you're going to have to get over being so self-focused. And we live in a generation that is so self-focused, not selfish, but self-focused. They hold up phones and take selfies. We used to take landscape pictures. We're on vacation. Look at this beautiful ocean. Look at this beautiful mountain. Now we got selfies. You could take that in your backyard. Nobody know where you are. Because you're in every picture. We're so self-focused. But this scripture says if you want to have the righteous crown from the righteous judge, that you're going to have to so focus on him that you long for him, you welcome his appearing, that you want to live and love for the appearing of the Lord. And that means that you got to be focused on him all the time, looking for him. And I don't mean just looking for his appearing. Yes, that's awesome. I can't wait for Jesus to come. But what about him coming today, right now in your life? Look for that. Don't just come to church again. Come expecting to be face to face, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, eyeball to eyeball with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who longs to imprint himself on you. Longing for him. So flip back over here to chapter 3 then. But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Everybody say, will come. Difficult days that'll be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And they will all be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Holding, now this whole thing that we just named, this is the rest of that group. Holding to a form of outward godliness. Huh. So this is not like the world he's describing. He's describing what we would call the church. Because he says, holding to a form of outward godliness, religion. Although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Oh, they're claiming they got faith, but their conduct has no faith in it. So you have faith without works. So it's dead. So this is not describing Hollywood, which is what we read it and think, oh yeah, the world looks just like that. That's what the news looks like. That's what Entertainment Tonight looks like. That's what all the world out there looks like. But God says, look here, because that's what I see. That's what the church looks like to me. The organized religion of church. That's what it looks like to me. Now the next line says, avoid such people and keep away from them. Now, I'm not saying stay away from church. Mm-mm, that's the problem. We got people fleeing church right now because what they're doing is they're fleeing organized religion, and because that's the relationship they had. They don't have a relationship with the Father. They have a relationship with religion, and so they're fleeing religion, and we got people going to hell left and right because the church forgot how to be the church. And when I say that, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you and me. For among them are those who worm their ways into homes and captivate. Now, I'm talking to ask a woman here. Morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women. Now, why in the world is he pouring out women here? Because women in the last days is a huge, powerful shift in the kingdom of heaven where women take up their arms and fight their battle until Jesus comes. So he points out women in this group because women are important. Morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women, weighed down by their burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses, always learning and listening to anybody who will teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Whew. Weak, silly-minded, morally weak, educated, very educated, but still stupid. Because you never come to the truth. The truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All the education in the world, if it doesn't take you back to Jesus, is makes you morally weak and stupid. Everybody say stupid can't be fixed. You got to get over being stupid. You can't get educated and get over being stupid. People are stupid. They get saved, they just stay stupid. People are stupid. They go to school. They get all the education in the world. They come out still just as stupid as when they went in. Because stupid is not ignorant. Stupid is a choice. We Southerners say stupid can't be fixed. If they're stupid, just walk away and be thankful that they're not in your life. I laughingly say it's like a big S is branded on their head. When our daughter went to heaven, people, stupid people, came up and said the stupidest things to us. When people are hurting, stupid comes out of the woodwork. If you're hurting, I'm telling you, you can line up stupid in front of you. But here's the thing. You don't have to listen. You don't have to listen. You can't shut up stupid, but you can be deaf to it. You can be deaf to you. Say, I don't need to hear stupid. Here's what happens. If you listen to stupid, you stay morally weak and spiritually dwarfed, weighed down by your sins. You've been forgiven. Get over it. You're free from abuse. Stop wearing it like your robe. You're no longer divorced. You're free to be the woman God created you to be. Why do you wear that thing like it's your identity? Shed those past identities. You cannot walk with the robe of righteousness and the robe of poor me. This happened. Oh my gosh, look what happened to me. Oh, boo hoo, boo hoo, boo hoo. Get over it. I'm not saying snap out of it because I've been there. I went through depression. If you could snap out of it, trust me, I would have done it. But I'm saying you got to shift in your mind. About a year ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you've been praying wrong. I said, what do you mean I've been praying wrong? I've been praying for 50 years. He said, well, you hadn't always prayed wrong, but you're praying wrong now. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, listen, when you pray, your shift has gone the wrong direction. And I said, what are you saying? He said, you knew how to pray, but you've shifted. Now you say, Father, help me, do something. Jesus, help me, do something. Holy Ghost, help me, do something. He said, I did all I'm going to do. I left you in charge. I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting for you to stand up. I'm waiting for you to take your authority. I'm waiting for you to use the name of Jesus. I'm waiting for you to be the woman I created and called you to be. Why do you act like you're whipped? Like I've got to get down there and do something every time. I am who I am. Now you be who you are. And you know what that's called? Getting a knot jerked in your tail by the Father. He jerked me up. And you know what? The moment he started talking, I knew it. I knew it. I knew I'd slipped over there because I was losing my power. I was losing my power. You can't pray wrong and have power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost. One of the weaknesses of the American church is that we've gone through 10 years of people not talking about the Holy Ghost, not praying in the Holy Ghost, not having any gifts of the Holy Ghost because they said it's not culturally relevant. Yes, but you're going to get your butt kicked in the spirit without the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. If you have the name of Jesus and you don't have a Holy Ghost, it's like having a badge without a gun. You got to have a badge, which is in the name of Jesus. But you also need a gun, which is the Holy Ghost that backs up the name of Jesus. And if you live in the millennium and the devil's locked up for 1,000 years, a badge is good enough. But we're not in the millennium yet, contrary to some stupid teaching going on. We're not there yet. Jesus hasn't come. We haven't gone through the tribulation yet. So we're not in the 1,000-year reign. When we get there, glory, we're not there. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the name of Jesus. You need to know who you are. You need to get over yourself. You need to get your identity straightened out. And you need to learn how to pray in the name of Jesus and take your authority and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But what do we have? We have a bunch of women fleeing instead of the devil fleeing. We have a bunch of weak, morally weak, silly-minded women. Here. I'm almost out of time. Oh, man, I didn't even get past the first paragraph. Okay. One thing. Genesis chapter 3. Edit. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. This is a revelation the Lord just recently showed me. Since I started launching Women of the Nation, we've been gathering women to pray. We started in the desert last September. I had no idea God told me to do it, but he didn't know. You know, when God tells you to do something, he doesn't lay it out plan by plan, detail by detail. He just like gives you a flash and you start. And then one by one, thing by thing, piece by piece, he gives you more and more and more and more. And after a year, I'm still just getting maybe the edges of my puzzle put together. But I know this, by the third Women of the Nation Summit we had, I felt the pleasure of the Lord. And what we do is we line up and we do witness and worship together because God showed me that he is a righteous judge, longing to give a righteous verdict for you, your family, your health, your marriage, your situation, your circumstances, your community, our cities, our counties, our states, and our nation. But we must become the one he can ask that we will stand in the gap and stand appropriately. And we need to learn that when we testify and when you start looking for the legal side of God, you're going to find it in almost every scripture. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. There's legal. He says in Hebrews that when you give, and I hope when I gave this morning in the offering, I said, thank you, Father, that my giving testifies before the righteous judge for me. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. Even your money's given a testimony. And here's the truth, women. We've been giving testimony before the righteous judge, whether you knew it or not, but you've been testifying for the prosecution. You've not been testifying for the defense. But you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And that is not just you walking around in the Walmart giving your testimony. That's standing before the righteous judge and pulling out the word of God and saying, America shall be saved. You are the Lord over America. You're the Lord over my family. You're the Lord over this nation. One nation under God. You say, I dwell in the secret place. My family dwells in the secret place. My marriage dwells in the secret place. My community dwells in the secret place. And we will say of the Lord, you're my refuge, my God, my fortress, and you will I trust. And God says, not guilty, saved. Give God something to work with. Genesis chapter 3, and I'll leave you with this. Verse 15 is a scripture that we all know. If you've studied, I love the Old Testament, because you learn the Father God in the Old Testament. We can't really know him as Father God until Jesus comes and connects the Ah to the Abba, and then he becomes our Father and we become his child, his daughter. But here in Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were there and they wore the glory. That was their covering. They wore glory. Every animal was clothed from the inside out, including humans. There's not an animal today that needs a dress or a pair of pants or a diaper, unless you're just one of those creepy people. God clothed all animals from the inside out. He also clothed humanity from the inside out with the glory of God. But then when they sinned, they were ashamed because they no longer had the glory of God. What happens is, until you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're ashamed because sin is still your covering instead of the glory of God. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're clothed from the inside out and you wear the glory of God everywhere you go. Now, I'm not saying please don't take your clothes off. You're not that pretty yet. Chapter 3. Eve was deceived and she was the beginning of sin entering in. She used her influence. She influenced her husband. Once influence turns evil, influence becomes manipulation. She began to manipulate her husband, got him into sin, and now they both lost their glory. Now you have God coming in. They've covered themselves up because they lost their covering. They lost their glory. And so God begins to pronounce judgment, which he doesn't want to do. He loves humanity. He didn't want to pronounce judgment, but he had to because the earth is set up in a legal system. And so he starts with verse 14. He says, the Lord God said to the serpent, so the first one that gets judged is the devil. Because you've done this, you're cursed more than the cattle, more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you'll eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, open hostility, and war between you and the woman. Between your seed, your offspring, yes, the devil has offspring, and her seed. He will fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel. Now, I've read this so many times, but I never saw this until recently. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw it. We read this and we think this is our curse. This is not our curse. We get a little bit over here, greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you'll give birth to children. Your desire and longing will be for your husband. He'll rule with authority over you and be responsible for you. And thank God that we have been redeemed from that curse. If you want to walk free from it, you can, but the devil doesn't get any freedom from this curse. You see, the devil was cursed with women. The devil's curse was, from this day forth, I'm going to set a war, open hostility between every woman ever born for the rest of eternity. All women are gonna hate your guts. Women are gonna hunt you down. Women are like a dog with a bone. They won't turn loose. They're with it. They're with it. They're with it. Men might turn away, walk off. Women, nope. Open hostility. It's open season on the devil. What God is waiting for is for women to realize this is not your curse. This is the most fun part of your life. You've been blessed with an open, hostile war, anointed and appointed against the devil. Women have been called up. Take your place and start beating the hell out of the devil. It's our fun. It's fun when you realize, listen, God didn't set you up to fail. He set you up to succeed. Every breath your XY chromosome takes, you see why the enemy's come against gender confusion? He wants you to be so confused about who you are. He wants you to not want to be a woman. He wants you to, if you were a man, life wouldn't be like this. And this is what happened 50 years ago when that whole thing was launched and acted like we were taking women's rights, when actually we don't need to have rights taken when we already have them. God gave women rights in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He said there's an open, hostile war between women and the devil. Now take your place. Run after him. Don't run from him. Run toward him with the word of God and power and be the women you were created to be. That's just a little nugget of what I'll be preaching. August 24th and 25th in Los Angeles. Women of the nation, it's time to pray. It's time to take our place. It's time to quit letting the devil beat us up over things that's not true. And I'm not saying you won't go through things. You will go through things. You're going to be promised. God says, I'm going to give you houses and lands. I'm going to give you all the things you long for with persecution. Why did he throw that in there? Because you need to understand this is not our home. We're not home yet, but we're headed home. But while we're here, we're taking ground. We're taking ground. You want to get it done? Ask a woman. Ask a woman. God knew it. That's why so many women, time after time, and Jesus got here, he knew that. He knew that women were openly hostile against the devil. That's why the women published the news for him. That's why the women took care of his needs. That's why the women were there with him at the cross, and that's why the women were there with him at the tomb. Women are gonna stay with you. Women are gonna be your friends, and if you can find godly women to stand with you, your life will be good. Your life will be good. Because a real friend will be the one that tells you, you're going to have to straighten up now and get back in the game. A real friend's going to tell you, I understand you needed to rest and you needed to. You needed to step off. But if you step off too long, you forget. You can't stay off too long. You stay off too long, you forget who you are. You lose your identity. Because your identity is not in what you do, but it's who you are inside his presence. You got to stay in his presence. You got to listen to his voice. The penetration of his personality becomes your personality. You become the very image reflection of God. But you cannot keep that reflection if you don't stay with him. If you don't stay in him and he doesn't stay in you. Women, it's time. It's time for you to understand how clean God's already made you, how precious he's already put you in position. But I'm asking you, aren't you tired of just being tired? Aren't you tired of not liking who you are? Aren't you tired of being uncertain about your authority and your position? Aren't you ready to step up and finish this race right? Aren't you ready to stop wearing shame and blame and pride? Aren't you ready to shed abuse and divorce and pain and grief and whatever else has tried to attach itself to your identity? Fear, go in Jesus' name. It's time to be clothed in the glory of God. And when people look at you, they see him. It's His glory, not yours. He's knocking. I feel Him. He's knocking on your heart right now. If you're ready to step in and be the woman God called you to be, if you're ready to turn your back on sin, turn your back on your past, turn your back on who you thought you were supposed to be and become the woman God created you to be from the very, even before you were in your mother's womb, He coded your DNA to be a beautiful, awesome, amazing, powerful destiny. And if you're not walking in it, it's not because it's not programmed in you. You're programmed for greatness. But you got to choose. It's your choice. I had to choose. I'm from Choctaw County, Mississippi, grew up wearing flour sack dresses on a dirt road. I had to choose. Does my environment tell me who I am, or does my God tell me who I am? Crippled from a car wreck, told I'd never walk again, 150 stitches in my face. Does my circumstances tell me who I am, or does God tell me who I am? You got to decide. I had to decide. This is who I am. I'm fearless. The devil can't kill me, because if he could, I'd be dead by now. I know who I am. The devil hates me, and I hate him. I'm openly hostile. The world is not my friend. Satan, none of his offspring, not my friend. I'm his enemy. And I'm taking him to court. And I'm winning. Because our God is an awesome Father who loves us. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, but you want to right now, just want you to stick your hand up in the air right now. He's knocking on the door of your heart. If you don't know Him, but you want to, put your hand in the air. Maybe you say, I did. I thought I did. I prayed a prayer, but I'm realizing right now I'm not that woman. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else, quickly just lift your hand. Maybe you go, I thought I was, but I'm not sure I want to be. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else, quickly. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that one there. Anybody else, quickly. Lift it up. This is your choice, your decision. I see that one. I see that one. Anybody else? I see that one. Anyone here? I see you. I see you. Anyone else? I see that one back there. Anyone else? Maybe you say, I know I've been walking with God, but I got off somehow. I got away. I got so self-focused, and I'm not focused right. I'm not focusing on what I need to be focusing on. I need my focus to be about Him. I know I'm all about me. That's got to change. It's got to change right now. If that's you, lift your hand right before the Father, all over the house. Hands are going up. I got to get my focus right. You cannot reflect Him when all you're looking at is you. You can reflect Him when all you're looking at is Him. Every hand that's lifted for any of those reasons, I want you to stand to your feet right where you are. Settled, sealed. There's a work of the Spirit going on. It's time to stop, but don't stop what God is doing just because we transition into the next move, the next thing. You don't stop doing what God is doing in you. You don't stop being. You don't stop studying. You don't stop being with Him. The more you worship, the more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you're going to know who you are. Because the more you know who He is, the more you understand who you are. You can never find yourself apart from Him. Because who you were created to be is inside of Him. So when you look elsewhere, you get more confused. You get more messed up. You get more shattered and scattered. But when you focus on Him, when you focus in His direction, and you willfully make your flesh come under, you willfully say to your emotions, your soul, your thinking, your mind, devil, shut up. You have no place in my brain. You have no place in my thoughts. And you walk on Him boldly into the presence of God. You become the women you were always created to be. So, Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus. I ask for the impartation that is in my life. Overcomer. No survivors in this bunch. A bunch of overcomers. That's who we are. We don't just survive the hell we've been through. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We use the word of our testimony. And we're after You, devil. We are openly hostile, warring against against you, you better run. You better run, because we're on to you. You're a devil and you have no place. You're a devil and you have no right. Get away from me in Jesus' name. Get away from God's women in Jesus' name. Swords drawn, shields up. You have been called for such a time as this.
Amen. Amen. So good, Cheryl.
All right. So good. Did you guys get something from God today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.